Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 34. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Evam Nirnam Kriya Yoga. Sarve samstriti hetava evatma vanasaya topante kopatapare. Thus, when all a man's activities are dedicated to the service of the Lord, those very activities which caused his perpetual bondage become the destroyer of the tree of work. Purport, fruitive work has perpetually engaged the living being. It is compared to the banyan tree in the Bhagavad Gita, for it is certainly very deep-rooted. As long as the propensity for enjoying the fruit of work is there, one has to continue the transmigration of the soul from one body or place to another according to one's nature of work. The propensity for enjoyment may be turned into desire for serving the mission of the Lord. By doing so, one's activity is changed into karma yoga, or the way by which one can attain spiritual perfection while engaging in the work for one, which one has a natural tendency. Here the word atma indicates the categories of all fruit of work. Conclusion is that when the result of all fruitive and other work is dovetailed with the service of the Lord, it will cease to generate further karma and will gradually develop into transcendental devotional service, which will not only cut off completely the root of the banyan tree of work, but also will also carry the performer to the lotus feet of the Lord. The summary is that one has to first of all seek the association of pure devotees who are not only learned in Vedanta but as self-realized souls and unalloyed devotees of Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. In that association, the neophyte devotees must render loving service physically and mentally without reservation. This service attitude will induce the great souls to be more favorable in bestowing their mercy, which injects the neophyte with all the transcendental qualities of the pure devotee. Gradually, this is developed into a strong attachment to hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, which makes him able to catch up the constitutional position of the gross and subtle bodies and beyond them the knowledge of pure soul and his eternal relationship with the Supreme Soul, the personality of Godhead. After the relation is ascertained by establishment of the eternal relation, pure devotee's service of the Lord begins gradually developing into perfect knowledge of the personality of Godhead beyond the purview of impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma. By such Purushottama Yoga, as it is stated in Bhagavad Gita, one is made perfect even during the present corporal existence. And one exhibits all the good qualities of the Lord to the highest percentage, such as the gradual development by the association of pure devotees. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksur Nulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Tapitam yena bhutale Tayam rupa kadamayam Gati sapadhantikam Vansha kopa tarubjascha Kripa sindhu bayevacha Vatitanam bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasude Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Excuse me. So greetings from the Bhakti Center. I'm fortunate to be able to spend some time here and relish the spreading of this pure bhakti, Krishna consciousness. I always describe that people have eyes, but it doesn't mean they can see. They sometimes need a prescription, a particular shape over their eyes that enables their eyes to see more clearly. And I think it's the same thing with trying to teach or share Krishna consciousness, because I'm seeing really an unprecedented amount of people, and not just one type of people, person, not just young people or not just Indian, but a whole gamut of people from all different types of ages, all different types of people, many professional people that are starting to make the Bhakti Center their home in many, many ways. And I'm kind of trying to analyze why. And I think one of the reasons is that there's been several devotees who have been outside trying to teach Krishna consciousness, not to a particular type of people, but all types of people, including people which they'll call the first world. People that, you know, Americans that have been here for generations and whatever, modern people. And that enables you, in terms of your speaking, to actually give them the knowledge in the shape that fits the way their eyes are defective, to enable them to see in the proper way. And it works. It works. It's just, because I've been trying to, you know, I've been on the beach, so to speak, for so many years, and now to see just a beautiful restaurant downstairs and so many people coming and coming to programs, and it seems whatever program is started becomes successful. There are three or four different types of Bhagavad Gita. You know, there's one on Wednesday night, Adita Nakastuban Madan Mohan started one once a month called Brave New Gita, and then there's Gita Sutras, and then, you know, maybe Geshwar will come and do Gita, Prabhu will come and do Gita Wisdom. And people are enlivened. So in that regard today, because many of the devotees here, I suppose some of the people that regularly go to my Sangha, they went to Gita Nagari for the weekend, a Sangha with Radhanath Swami, but also he's holding initiations, and there's at least five people from here. Question. People, most born in the movement, but not all, that are going there. So I decided to stay back and take all the programs, which includes one that'll start at 9:30, but I won't go till that, till a quarter, till another half hour, which this chanting of sacred chants, and then the Bhagavatam, and And which suits me, because if people know my nature, I hate to talk so much about myself, but maybe people know my nature. Everyone has a particular nature. And I am very attracted to teams. I was on teams. I coached teams. I made teams. And we did that in Tuaco with Lakshmi Shringa, Raj Kishore, Hamuni, and others. And it was very successful. And so I like to work in units that are greater than my own individual interest, community. And I always strongly make the point that bhakti is based on community, because, and family, and community, and humanity, because unless you're in a position where your selfish desires don't rule, you can never step out of the center enough to experience bhakti. And because communities, sangha, are situations which allow one to do that in a way in which they can open their hearts and be vulnerable without fear of exploitation. If you want to give bhakti, you have to create communities for people. People are looking for that, because that is the unit in which love flows. Therefore, brahmacharis and sannyasis, gurus, everyone has to be very, very vigilant to be part of something greater than yourself. For brahmacharis, it has to be humanity. You have to be the humble servant of everyone. Otherwise, there's such a danger of falling prey to self-absorption. Same thing with a sannyasi. And of course, married people can do it in another way. Or at least one of the members of the family can do it another way, by making it their castle rather than Krishna's home. So, in terms of this story, Narada is giving the example of his own life, of how he achieved this selfless state of bhakti. And he's doing that in reference to, illustrating a point that he's making to Vyas, the editor of the Vedas, so that Vyas will properly be able to take the Vedas and form a lens of knowledge for the defective eyes of the people of this age. So he tells them that what people in this age more than anything else need to do is to become attracted to Krishna by helping them to understand Krishna's pastimes. Because this is the most attractive feature of God, and the most effective way to instill attractiveness to God and God's service. And it's that seva bhav, that mood of service, as the essence of bhakti. And it's the essence of experiencing love of Godhead. So he explains it by his own story, and there were certain key elements. One, of course, it all begins with the association of sadhus. If you want to move out of the center, you have to be with people who have experienced that joy. And therefore are in one second. Back with you all. And are therefore imbued with that infectious love of Godhead, which is symptomized by the desire to hear and glorify Krishna. So he explained what that association did for him. Explain what that association did for him. And I just have to look up one thing. I'll be right back. Of course. I just got to get a brain reference. Explains how. Check it again. Hold it. Called. He explains how this worked, how it became so infectious, and how he became qualified to hear the Bhagavatam. And the qualification to hear the Bhagavatam is your sincerity, that you actually want the truth. And the truth doesn't endorse our ego. And therefore, it's hard to hear the truth. On an ontological platform, the truth is that we are particles of consciousness who are meant to be to serve the Supreme Consciousness. The truth is that the center is occupied. We're not special on a material platform in terms of our own grandeur and significance. And then by hearing that Bhagavatam, one really becomes inspired to be the servant of Krishna. So what's being recommended in the Bhagavatam is exactly what we're doing now, that one should be chanting and hearing about Krishna. And those of you know, when you concentrate on that, those activities in Vrindavan, etc., how you feel. And feeling is a condition of the heart. Our anxieties and desires, material desires, are connected to the ego. And the ego is the identification with the body for the purpose of being the enjoyer and the controller. and our anxieties are is that that position will be compromised. When you're chanting and hearing, it brings you to the platform of the soul. And it shifts your faith and desires to service to Krishna, which is something you could have right now. You can't be the enjoyer and controller ever. And no matter what you can accrue in this life by your karma, it's very temporary, limiting, full of duality, and full of fear. But you, if you want to be a servant of Krishna, if you actually develop that taste and that desire, you have it right now. The best thing in the world, you have it right now. And that's the only platform that's free from duality, because it's the only platform that's actually real and not a imposition of the mind. So Narada, and now in the section of verses that we're reading, Narada begins to explain the glories of working for Krishna. Obviously, on one sense, it just should be the result of chanting and hearing, you want to serve. But the other sense, it is the process to put the desire to chant and hear in your heart. It is the process to get out of the illusion that we're in. Because our illusion is that the way we are seeing is that we are the center and things are objects for us. And that conception and the vision that it gives, Maya is just sense gratification. Maya is a product of a desire. Illusion is a product of a desire that cannot be fulfilled by your constitution. A desire that cannot be filled in the actual situation before you. So Maya, illusion, is caused by a particular desire. And that desire for enjoyment and control and dominance, superiority, it can only be fulfilled in illusion. And the first part of the illusion is to see the world around you as yours rather than to see the world around you and yourself as Krishna. We see ourselves at the center. We should see Krishna in the center and us part of the what's around him. That's the mood of service. But it's always me, 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 me. So, with that desire and that conception and that misconception and that faith, it really is hard to have an attraction for the glories of the Lord, because the attraction comes from the bhava in the heart, not the activity. Because the activity will help to give the bhava in the heart. But you have to surrender to Krishna. And the first way to surrender to Krishna is in the world, in what you are doing. And each of us has particular ways in which we want to control and enjoy. And they're reflected in our karma. They're reflected in how I see, what our nature is, how I act. And we're embodied. And it's very, very difficult to transcend that. Because we got it because of desires and deeds in the past, and we've absorbed ourselves in it. So what here is recommended is the same thing that has caused you bondage which is your desire to enjoy and control, if those same activities born from that desire are engaged for the service of Krishna, two things will happen. One second. So two things happen. Is one, it changes your vision, because when you use things for God, you see them as God. When you use things for yourself, you see them as yours, and that is the illusion of sense gratification. So it changes your vision, and by changing your vision, it changes your heart. And therefore, the same activities which were causing your bondage, used in the appropriate way, destroy your karma. Because the karma is the selfish intention behind that. When the activity is service, and the cause of the activity is not your own desire, but the desire of the person you're serving, because you're doing it because that's what they like and that's what they want. At least it takes it from the platform of the root of your own ego, which is your desire to enjoy and control. So the goal is to love Krishna. The goal is to therefore always chant and hear. But to get to that goal, when you can't do that, you have to work in the world and dovetail things in Krishna's service. We have to do that. And at the same time, as we develop devotionally, these are the activities we're going to be doing in Krishna's service. Because Krishna's given us a nature. And the value of that, the value of that will be the service of Krishna. The value of the item will be in its use of love rather than its use of lust. The item takes on so much more meaning. It's one thing to get some flowers and decorate your room for your own pleasure, although it's fine, because we have to be satisfied to change our consciousness. So we do, but not as an objective or goal. Our desires are not our objective or goal. They may be connected to helping us achieve our objective or goal, which is love of Godhead. So the same flowers that are an object of pleasure for someone else in your hands become so much more valuable, because they're connected to the purity of your consciousness. And that's the ultimate platform of happiness. So here, he says, thus, when all a man's activities are dedicated to service of the Lord, those very activities which cause perpetual bondage become the destroyer of the tree of work. 35. Yad atra kriyate karma bhagavat paritoshanam yanam yat tad adinam hi bhakti yoga samahitam. Whatever work is done here in this life for the satisfaction of the mission of the Lord is called bhakti yoga, or transcendental loving service to the Lord. What is called knowledge becomes a concomitant factor. So what is bhakti yoga? Bhakti yoga, best definition I got from Bhakti Siddhartha, bhakti is best expressed in seva, which is loving responsiveness to the Lord through the faculties of the mind, body, and words. So when you do something with the intention to please, that is the sarup Krishna, the Sarup Lakshman, the primary characteristic of Krishna consciousness. It's your intention to please. It's not the activity, although activities are often connected to our desires, but not absolutely. It's the intention to please. And when you do that, you see reality, so then knowledge becomes a concomitant factor. Concomitant factor. Because once you start to serve, you begin to see reality, and you begin to see yourself. And therefore, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Priyojita Janiya Jasu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayada Haitakam. That knowledge comes jani asu vairagyam jnana chyada hoitatam vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga jani yasu, it becomes easy. Therefore, a devotee doesn't really have to study Sankhya and analyze very deeply. He just needs to hear and he'll understand, because he's acting already on the platform of detachment. He's already acting on the platform of detachment. We'll read the purport and probably have to finish today because I'm giving more classes. It's just the general and popular notion is that by discharging fruitive work in terms of the direction of the scriptures, one becomes perfectly able to acquire transcendental knowledge of spiritual realization. So you regulate your karma and it's expected that you'll get knowledge because you're acting on the platform of detachment. Bhakti yoga is considered to be another form of karma. Because karma means you're acting, and bhakti means you're acting. Karma, literally, karma means that you're acting out of selfishness. Karma yoga means you're acting out of out of renunciation and knowledge. And bhakti is you're acting out of a sense of love. But factually, bhakti yoga is above both karma and jnana. Well, for many reasons. One, bhakti means entering a relationship with God. So you have the factor of reciprocation, karma and jnana, by your own efforts. And bhakti is the path of grace. So you're entering into an activity to serve God as a person who responds and helps you. That's one of the key things in bhakti yoga. Tesham satyatiyuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Dami Buddha Yogam Twam Yena Mahamu Piyantite. For one who serves me with faith and devotion, I give them the knowledge by which they can come to me. So bhakti yoga is above karma, yeah. It's more effective. And meditation out of dedication and love is obviously more consuming than meditation on the basis of understanding and discipline. Bhakti yoga is independent of karma again. On the other hand, jnana and karma are dependent on bhakti yoga. Because any spiritual practice, if you analyze what is required, transcending the body in which we're so, our minds are so uncontrolled, there's so many samskaras, you need God's help. So therefore, in karma and jnana, there's always some type of worship. So it's dependent on bhakti. But bhakti is not required on karma and jnana. You just sit and listen with submission from guru with the attitude of embracing that knowledge, no matter how it reflects on my own attachments. Do that, automatically you'll get detachment. Automatically you'll get knowledge and understanding. This Kriya Yoga, Karma Yoga, is recommended by Sri Narada to Vyas. It's specifically recommended because the principle is to satisfy the Lord. The Lord does not want his sons, the living beings, to suffer the threefold miseries. He desires that all of them come to him and live with him. But going back to Godhead means that one must purify himself from material infections. When work is performed, therefore, to satisfy the Lord, the performer gradually becomes gradually purified from material affection because you develop love. This purification means attainment of spiritual knowledge. You get realization by acting on knowledge. So you're hearing and then you're acting on the knowledge. And by acting on the knowledge, you realize it. You realize what it means to perform tapasya, to neglect the irrational impulses in the mind and senses. And you realize because you actually get relief by that. You realize that because your vision becomes cleared up by that. Therefore, knowledge is dependent on karma or work done on behalf of the Lord, because without acting properly, you'll never see properly. You'll never understand deeply what is reality unless you act on the platform of reality. So it's saying here, bhakti is realized knowledge, because it's actually acting on the platform of the true understanding. Other knowledge, being devoid of bhakti yoga or satisfaction of the Lord, cannot lead one back to the kingdom of God, which means that it cannot even offer salvation. As explained in connection with the stanza, Nais Karmam Achyuta Bhava Bharjitam. The Narada was told, this glorified Krishna, they said, what about Nais Karma? What about performing Gyan? He said, Nais Karmam Api Achyuta Bhava Bharjitam. Ranjanam Jnanam Alam Narayanam. The conclusion is that a devotee engaged in the unalloyed service of the Lord, specifically in hearing and chanting of his transcendental glories, becomes simultaneously spiritually enlightened by the divine grace as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. I quoted that verse. Tadami Bhuti. Tadami Bhuti Yogam Tum. Tadami means, Krishna says, I give knowledge. I give knowledge to one who serves. Okay, somehow or other, this other class just came upon me. I'm kind of late for it, but I will ask if anyone would like to say hello tomorrow. Next week, I'll be able to give the full class. But would anyone like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, I heard Nanda Dulal, and then after that is who?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who says Lee?
This is Lee.
This is who? Oh, Lee. Oh, right, Lee. Great. So, yeah, I know Lee. Lee, you came to our retreat, and your wife went. She's coming again. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on the class. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's
that?
Hanan and
Hare Krishna. Oh, Hare Krishna. You know, I it keeps on my mind that we need to have some Skype discussions soon. So I haven't forgotten. It's just been overwhelming with all the opportunities here. I think it'll settle down. Okay. Don't have time for questions because I have to go to another class, but thank you for being on. Anyone else like to say hello? Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
I heard Chaitanya Priya. And then after that, who?
You heard Gail.
Gail. Oh.
Yeah, I'll save my question, Maharaj.
Okay, save your question. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who is that?
Vegavati.
Who is that? Oh, Hare Krishna Vegavati. Good. Wonderful. Wow. Our community is... core is growing. Yes. Anybody else like to say hello? And then I got to run downstairs.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
Gordon.
Hey, Gordon. Great. Okay. Anybody else? I'll have to run downstairs now. Thank you. Bhamshukopatri.